blessed time for us as a church family. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, as you know, we don't just tack it on, but we make the whole service. Why? So important. So important. And why is that? Because Christ is one of the ordinances that Christ gave us. The Lord's Supper and baptism are the ones that we recognize here as a church. And so those are things. When he ordinance, that's something he told us to do. And so I want us to think about that today for a few minutes before we start and we partake. I want us to just challenge with the Word of God. And just at the title of this message is Come to the Lord's Table. Come to the Lord's Table. Our Sunday school lesson today, what a blessing that was, that it just tied together. Ain't God good? I can't plan things like that. Okay, that's the Lord. That our lesson was about communion. And so as Donnie was talking about one of the things that he asked us, he said, as men, what's that one date that you're not supposed to forget? Said, your anniversary. Woo! Somebody said the birthday, too. It's pretty close. I did forget the birthday one time on my anniversary. Yeah, they were so close together. On our honeymoon. We were on our honeymoon. Okay, I'll get it right. I never lived it down. One time, I dropped the ball. Guess what? I haven't forgot one since. But it is important because it's talking about our wedding and when we come together. And we actually went to a wedding yesterday. Our kids are here and so thankful for them when they come in, and they'll be traveling back, so keep them in your prayers today. But we had a wedding. A cousin got married down in Colony Springs. It was hot. Man, that sun was cooking me. It's like, this is our summertime on the mountain, okay? 90 degrees. And so, but that marriage of two people coming together, what a beauty. And we see that time and time again. We know it's the first ordinance that God made between Adam and Eve. And then we see it referred to as Christ in the church. We see the marriage. And so I couldn't help as I was thinking about us partaking of the Lord's table today, is there's a certain thing that goes on that usually right before, the day before the wedding. I've married several of you guys here today, and you know what I'm talking about. What do we have that night before? What's it called? Rehearsal dinner. Very important, isn't it? We have a rehearsal dinner, and what happens is we get together, and it's usually all chaos to begin with, and you're trying to figure out this, and you'll have the wedding planner, and she'll be saying, it's got to do like this, and got to do like that, and then we go eat a meal, and it's very important because what is it doing? It's getting prepared for the big moment the next day. I couldn't help as I was thinking about and preparing on the Lord's Supper, that it's kind of like, this is the rehearsal dinner. He commands us, and we'll see the challenges so much more than that, but there's something that's coming. The not now, but soon to come, the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, where it tells us that we'll sit down with Jesus and we'll partake, man, at the Lord's table. And so this is just that rehearsal dinner before that time. What a glorious time when it comes. And so, but it's, I'm telling you, it's so much deeper than just a rehearsal. It's a time that we come to the Lord's table and that we do some things. And how we come is very important today. And I hope I've challenged people all through the week to be prepared. You don't come flippantly today. It's not just a tack on. It's just not a ritual or a routine. But it's something of great, great depth and importance. And so I want us to think this morning before we do. Let's look at three ways that we should come to the Lord's table. First, come rejoicing. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and this is, you've read this many times, and we've preached this several times as we take of the Lord's table. And so turn to 1 Corinthians 11, take your Bible, and let's stand to reverence God's Word. There's a pew Bible there in front of you if you don't have your Bible. It's so very important that we use the Bible. Why is it that I say, hey, pick up your Bible? Because you don't need to trust what a man tells you standing up here behind a pulpit. You need to see what the Word of God tells you. And so that's why we open this. You need to have, if you don't have your Bible, grab that pew Bible and look and see what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. And I want us to, you know what, I might ought to turn to the right page right first. That might help, mightn't it? Look, I'm excited, okay? Let's get excited this morning. Why? We have a lot to be excited about. Word of God says this. For I received from you, I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, thank you. Thank you for this privilege. I pray, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to think that some ways that we are to come to the Lord's table this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning here in Todd. Come rejoicing. Look what it says in verses 20 through 24a. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and we had given thanks." I want us to think, Paul has challenged his fellow believers that he's passing on what was passed to him. Truth be known, every person here that's a believer in Jesus Christ, right here in our church family, somebody passed the gospel on to you. Preached the gospel, didn't he, Lee? Somebody, maybe many somebodies had investment as far as planting seeds in your life. Maybe many grandmothers or those that come by are acquaintances or workers or family members or those that they plant the seeds of the gospel. And Paul's saying, "I'm giving you what was given me to them." That should make us rejoice. Why? I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be a lost person. I'm so thankful for those guys that invested in me, cared enough about me to tell me about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're a pastor, has nothing to do with it this morning, because I am a child of God. That's first and foremost. My identity is in Jesus Christ, not in behind a pulpit. It's in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. And so that makes us one. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we're all in unity. And that should make us rejoice this morning. We need to realize what we have. Do you realize that salvation came? Somebody from somebody that loves you enough to tell you about the gospel. He says, we should rejoice because, I want you to think about this. I know in Luke when Jesus sends out the 70 and they go out, these disciples, and they go out and they do all these great miracles in his power. And they come back to him when the 70 return and they say, "Man, even the demons were in subjection to us. Lord," you know what he says? "Don't rejoice that the demons were in subjection to you, but rejoice that your what? Your name was written in the Lamb's book of life," or heaven. That your name was written in heaven. Listen, we should rejoice this morning. Why? Because our name is written in heaven because of what Christ has done. That's something immovable, something that can never be erased. You look around this room, this time symbolizes that when we come together as a family, as a body in Christ, we come through the fellowship of Christ's blood. It's a time of our unity in that body. Look around. This is your church family. Listen, whether you're a member or not, if you're a member of the church, of the body of Jesus Christ, listen, we're all family here today. And we come in unity with one purpose. And why is that? To worship the King. To worship Jesus Christ, our Creator. And so it's a time of great unity. And you know how I like to talk about, hello, South Fork, what? Church family. On the phone tree. Why do I all use those words? It's not just a quickie saying, but it's to make us recognize on it. What'd you say? Love you. I always finish with that. Good job, Elena. Love you. We do that because we're family. Guys, we're family. Does that always mean that everything goes easy and flows and everybody's happy? No, that's not family life, is it? I don't know about you, but Sunday mornings the devil will beat me to death. Does he do that to anybody else when you're getting ready to go to church? Never fails. I remember when the kids were little, too. It never fails, right? Something goes haywire. You finally get those pants ready and clean and things are on, and next thing you know, they've wiped their hands all over, right? It's like, dear Lord, I'm running behind now. But we're family. We do, listen, that's life. That's reality. We do life and death together. What a privilege. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Why? We're family. We're family. Out of many comes one body. Sanctity of the body. We've got to get back to that in the Church of America today. One, out of many, the one. The unity of Christ's body and coming together. And this is the place that we meet, South Fork Baptist Church. You know, Paul, he doesn't budge. As he's dealing with the Corinthian church, they were a great church. They had a lot of problems, a lot of things. This is one area he don't budge. They were meeting together, and they was making the Lord's Supper in just a party time. They were just a time to get together and fellowship. We don't have any problem with that as Baptists, do we? We like the fellowship, and we fellowship. What are we doing? Eating most of the time. That's not what this meal is about, okay? But he really nails them there at the first part of 17, verses 17 on to 22. And he's talking about, this is the way. We don't come together like that. We don't come not worrying or thinking about somebody else, but we come thinking about each other. And unity is the number one thing that should happen in this room this morning. Is there any disunity in your church family? When you deal with that, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And I love Jesus at that last part of that verse in 24a when he gives thanks. I want you to know this is his last night on this earth. And he's taking a piece of bread and he's giving thanks for it. Oh, we should be thankful people. Rejoicing. He's getting ready to face the cross before the sun goes down the next day. And yet he gives thanks unto his heavenly Father. Why? The bridge is getting ready to be gapped between heaven and earth. It would be his blood, it would be his body that would bridge that gap. That we could have eternal life forever and ever. We should come rejoicing. It's never a time to show off or be arrogant. It's a time to lay down our biases, our prejudices, everything that would keep us from coming to the Lord's table in unity this morning. Come rejoicing, but also come remembering. Look at verses 24b through 26. He broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The time reminds us of what? Jesus' death. We come out of Easter, a great celebration. This is just as important time that we remember what Christ has done for us. It's a simple rite. A small glass of grape juice, a small piece of bread, but visual illustrations, a reminder. Why do we do that? We can put it in our hand. We can see it. We can feel it. We can taste it. And it reminds us of what Christ has done. It drives us in remembrance to remember what the Lord Jesus has done in our life. It's the core basis of our beliefs, why we believe. The basis that we do all other things is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the basis. And so, you know what? We need to get back to basics sometimes, don't we? We need to remember what Christ has done for us. Why is that? We get busy. Oh, look how many long my announcements were today at the things that are going on. It's like drinking with a fire hose sometimes, isn't it? So much going on in our busyness. You know what we'll do? Our busyness will supersede that which is most important. And what is that? Remembering what the Lord's done for us. And everything else that we do in our business should be tied to that. If the gospel, if we're not loving God and we're not loving others, we should not do it. Can I get an amen out of that? One more time. Oh, that sounds good. We should not do it. It's getting us back. He says, remember. Why did he tell us to remember? Why did he say, remember? Because we forget. We forget. And we'll cloak it with everything, even ministry. Even ministry. don't tell me. Don't tell me I love Christ. I love Him, and it's not enough to change your life and your lifestyle and what you do and how you live. That's not biblical love. We proclaim, it reminds us to be, also listen, it helps us remember that this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood. The old covenant was superseded. The Passover meal was to remind them of coming out of Egypt and the blood of the lamb that was applied over the door. Now it's going to be a new covenant. No longer would it be celebrated the Passover meal, but the Lord's Supper will remind of the blood of the lamb, the perfect lamb of God, that was applied to every heart. It's a new covenant. His death sealed the new covenant. This supper remembers that. And it reminds us that, hey, we're to be evangelistic. We're to be evangelistic. What do you say? You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. When's Christ coming? We don't know. It could be the next moment. It could be any time. But He said this time that we partake and we come together, we proclaim that He could come. He's coming. Believe He came the first time, you can better believe He's coming again. Why? It's written right here. It is written. Not because some man says it, but because God says it. It's written. Until He comes again. And so it's that idea that, hey, we're looking and we should be proclaiming the Lord. And we proclaim this when we take of the bread and we partake of the cup. We proclaim that we believe that He's coming and that He's covered our sins and we remember what He's done. It's just a rehearsal for the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of these days, we'll be in heaven together, those that are children of God, and we'll partake with the Lord at that marriage supper. What a tremendous thought. We do this to remember that He's coming. We have a future hope. It's not only the here and now, but we have a future hope. We have a purpose that we're working towards. So we come rejoicing and remember there's a future hope. But lastly, come reflecting. Look at verses 27 and 32. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourself, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. It's a time of reflecting. What are we reflecting on? Listen, you don't take this and just going through a routine and a ritual without examining your life. He tells us to examine. We just go through it like another little routine. Sometimes Sunday morning becomes that way. We just walk through it. We do not take of the Lord's Supper in that way. Paul's getting very poignant to the point, and he makes some really tough statements, don't he? He's saying some of the sicknesses that they had in the church and even some of the deaths is because they took of the supper in an unworthy manner. How can we take in an unworthy manner this morning? Explain that to me, Pastor. First and foremost, we come with sin in our life. We live in sin. We live contrary to this right here. I don't care what you feel, your emotions, or how. This is how I think. Has nothing to do with it. Has everything to do with this right here. If you are not living by this standard, and this is your not standard, do not partake this morning. Why? I don't want to have to be standing up here talking about you laying right here in a box right where this table is. You say, can that happen? Is that not what the Word says? Not every death, not every sickness is tied to that. Some are. Is that not what He said? That's scary, ain't it? That can be very scary, but listen, you're a child of God, there's nothing to be scared about. You're living by His standard, nothing to be scared about. You say, well, what if I do? Listen, you can cover all those things in just a minute. You ask the God to cleanse your heart, and you repent of any sin that you know of. No one is worthy sitting in this room. None of us are. None of us is worthy. It's not how you come, or who it is that comes, but it's how you come. How can I remember He died for my sins if I'm nurturing sin in my life? We dare not approach this right with a casual approach to sin. It's no big deal. Here's what we'll do. Hey, I'll just ask the Lord, forgive me of my sin, take the Lord's Supper, and I'll just go back and live in any old way I want to. That is not repentance. That is not. That's a flippantly, that's take it as exactly what he's talking about. We don't use it as a crutch. And sometimes we'll take 1 John 1:9 and we'll say, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me for all righteousness. And we'll just take that and grab a hold of it and say, see there, and I believe that with all my heart. But that does not mean a blank check that I can live any old way that I want to. Oh, I'll just confess it and keep on doing it. That is not true repentance. Can anybody hear me today? It's not true repentance. It's living a life that's sold out to him. Does that make us perfect? Far from it. Sure makes us want to be, though, to please him. You're not living, if you're living in sin, don't partake. Don't ask forgiveness and then go back to living the same old way. Paul reminds us that judgment comes from taking the Lord's Supper. Many are weak and sick among you, and some sleep. Judge yourself so God doesn't have to, is what the Scripture tells us to do. This can be frightening. You know, I was thinking that if somebody came in and had never been in church, never been around the things of church, and but say, you know, you say, well, in America, I guarantee you that could happen today too. Might have heard it. And then they see this little cup. They see this piece of bread and they're like, what's up with that? That could look very like that's not right. What's going on there? Listen, these are symbols of what Christ has done for us. Very important. A lack of knowledge does not release you from it, by the way. We follow the Scriptures and what it tells us. It tells us to partake of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. Tells us to examine. That's why we just don't let kids, hey, here, everybody have it. Why? They need it. It's only believers, people that understand about the shed blood of Christ, that have come under that covenant of his life, death, and burial, and living for him. We just don't make it, hey, anybody can do it. No, not by what the Scripture says. We're responsible, each and every one of us. Come and join joyfully, freely, confessing our sins. It's a great time of remembering what Christ has done for us. So I want us to bow our heads. As my deacons are making their way forward, as we get ready to partake. Is there sin in your life? You know that your life is not lining up with God's Word. Oh, my friend, confess it. There's nothing in this world, I promise you, one that's tried it all. Nothing in this world worth holding on to. Nothing greater than your relationship with Jesus Christ. And in a moment, I just want you to ask God to forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for sin. Maybe you have all. Maybe you have hard feelings against somebody in your own church body that you've harbored. You've had resentment. You gossip. You talk. You need to confess that to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. And that means quit doing it too, by the way. I'm going to give you just a moment of silence before the Lord, before we partake. You deal with the Lord in your heart. Father, I stand before you. Thank you for your cleansing blood. I ask you in my own heart, God, if there's sin, if there's things there that even in my own ignorance I don't understand, I ask you, Lord, as I've asked this week to prepare me to take the Lord's table, forgive me of unkind words, unpure motives, sinful lust, anything that would hamper. I pray, make me clean before you. I pray for every person that's here, somebody who don't know you as personal Savior, that they ask you into their heart now and ask you to forgive them of their sin and they live for you. God, if they make that statement, I pray they'll make it known to the rest of this body. Maybe somebody living in sin, that this very message convicts them. And God, they're tired. They've struggled. They've worked. They've tried to get by. They can't. We can't do it on our own. I pray they'll make it right with you. And then repent and live for you. So, Lord, we lift this up to you and ask you, let us remember you well. said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. This is the cup, or this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. What a blessed time. I look forward. Look forward to the day when we'll take it in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, all of us together. I hope everybody here in this room. If not, I hope you made those things right. Don't hold on to anything in the world. Nothing will be worth eternity for your eternity. I promise you that. Go to the Lord in prayer. Listen, you've got the evening. Kids are going to go and have some fun together. Be praying for them. But I pray that you'll spend the rest of this day thinking about what we did here this morning. Thinking about what Christ has done. May it change our lives to live for Him. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the great privilege of serving you. We thank you, God, that we could come in remembrance of you. We thank you, God, for the privilege. We thank you, God, for being able as the group together as a group of believers in your name. I pray for every person here. God, I pray that if they're not walking with you, that this will be the day that they begin. I pray if somebody maybe has sin in their life that they confessed it. Now quit living that way. God, I pray for whatever has went on here today, that God, you'll make it manifest for your glory. In Christ's name,